So would you stand as we read the word? I mentioned this last week. It was a horrendously difficult passage of scripture because there was so much. Where do you go? And I'm getting even more simple this week. We're just going to focus on one verse this week because that's about all I could figure out how to handle. Out of John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Chapter 25, Dan hinted at it, right? It opens and it covers an immense amount of scripture. It opens and we find Jesus, Peter, confessing that Jesus is the Christ. We find him sitting there making this bold proclamation. You are the Son of God. You're the one who was to come into the world. And we find him with the audacity to look at Jesus and rebuke him for talking about dying. And then the story plays on and we see that Jesus rebukes Peter, calls him Satan. Says, "Get behind me." Right? Anything that stands in the way of the plan of God to restore communion and fellowship with his people is satanic. And so when Jesus recognizes what is going on, right? He calls it what it is. If you're seeking to hinder the plans of God, which is about the restoration of broken, sinful people and the Lord together, and you don't want me to go die, then you're not of the Father. You're of the enemy. And the story moves on this week, and we find the transfiguration story where Moses and Elijah show up, and they're talking with Jesus. And I love it that it says that Peter and them were scared. And they were so scared that they didn't know what else to say other than say, "Hey, let's build some houses." Makes total sense to me. They were just rambling. They just didn't know what to do. We find in this passage of this chapter of the story that Judas agrees to betray Jesus. And right in the middle, there are two amazing statements. And it was my intention to cover both of them. And at 8 pages, I decided you didn't want me to cover both of them. Amen, that's right. Jesus makes the statement, "I am the light of the world." And then he makes the statement, "I am the resurrection and the life." These two statements are bold proclamations, but they're part of 7 statements that are made in the book of John as a whole, where Jesus says, "I am something." Right? I'm the light of the world. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the bread of life. I'm the door by which the sheep enter. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the true vine. And every one of these is worthy of a sermon or multiple sermons to just unpack what is Jesus declaring about himself and how that relates to God's great plan of wanting to walk with people. But we don't have time to do that because you don't want to be here till 5. Though I would be thrilled to be here till 5. My voice wouldn't be happy to be here till 5, but I would be thrilled to be with you and to be talking the word with you for as many hours as we had. But we're going to focus just on this one declaration. I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Now, if we go down to verse 20, we'll find this statement, and it's really important. These words Jesus spoke, everything that he just said, these words were spoken in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour hadn't come. These words were spoken in the temple treasury. Now, you don't know anything about the temple treasury. You've probably never seen a picture of the temple treasury. If you had some Bibles have some brilliant pictures in the back, And it would behoove you, when you find these little geographic tidbits, to go and see, scour the internet, find pictures, see if you can understand. So do we have that picture, Raquel? So for you that are looking, right, this may be a little hard to see, but this is kind of an aerial shot of the temple. And you've got the giant piece back there, right? The big giant piece at the top that's the actual Holy of Holies, the place where the priests would enter in. But out here at the front, you've got a set of gates. And there's three of them, the east gate and the north gate and the south gate. And that's where people would enter in. If they were coming to the temple, they would have been out here. Gentiles could be out here and around. There's this big set of walls. They could be mulling around. This is the area outside of what you're looking at where Jesus flips over the tables. And he uses the whips to crack people and bring things back into normal. It says, hey, you've turned God's house into a house of thieves. But only if you had been circumcised could you enter into this place. So if you were a male, you had to be circumcised to enter in through here, or you could have been a female if you were born Jewish. You could be a female and enter into this place. And as you entered into one of these gates, there'd be these places where you could drop your offerings. This is the temple treasury. It's also the court of women. Anybody who's a faithful, God-fearing, has taken the step of saying, I'm committed, completely committed to walking with God, they were allowed into this place. So this is where Jesus is teaching, right? There's men present, there's women present, there's children present, and they all say, God is God, and we're willing to follow him, and we're willing to live life entirely for him. So Jesus is teaching here. It's important because what Jesus is teaching, he's teaching to everybody. Men, women, slave, free, Greek, Jew. It doesn't matter who they are. If they've come to that point where they're saying, I want to walk with God, they're hearing his declaration. This isn't a set of teaching just for the men. This isn't a set of teaching that's just for the Jews. This is a set of teaching for anybody who wants to walk with God. It's important we remember that. The other second thing you'll realize in this picture, it might be a little bit hard to see, but right inside there's these four pillars that look just like sticks sticking up, right? I should have a pointer. There we go. So there's these four pillars that are sticking up. And there are these giant pillars that shoot up into the sky. And on top of them, they have four giant candlesticks. Big candlesticks. Like really big candlesticks. So when Jesus makes this statement, I'm the light of the world, I picture Jesus standing there in the treasury in the court of women, and pointing up and saying, I'm the light of the world. You see that? You see that? That's me. He's making use of the things that are around him. The rabbis tell us that at certain feasts, that these candlesticks on top were lit in such a way that they provided immense amounts of light to everything around. They were so bright and so powerful and so illuminating that they actually say that in the middle of night, it was like noonday in the streets of Jerusalem when these candlesticks were lit. They say normally the windows in a building, if you've ever been in like old castles or things, you know, they're really wide on the inside and they narrow down so that, you know, you can kind of shoot. There's not a big target to shoot for. Right, you can shoot out, or the light in this case would be reflected back inside. But in the temple, all of the lights and all of the windows were built the opposite way. So they're all wide on the outside and narrow on the inside, so that the light that comes out gets magnified out into the streets and out into the city. Imagine what it would be like to be in a place where you have this giant set of light and this reality that you've been in Jerusalem at times for the festivals, and You've seen these giant lights lit. You know how bright it is in the middle of the night. And Jesus is now saying, I'm the light of the world. That's me. That's me. I mean, for those of us who haven't seen that or can't imagine that, you've all been out to some of the refineries, haven't you, and driving by them in the evenings? And you see the burn-off that happens when they release all those off-gases and that giant flame shoots into the sky as they let off all those off-gases. Jesus is around here. He may be saying, yeah, I'm that. That's me. I'm illuminating everything around, right? When that flame starts, it just goes from dark to bright around. Things, details you couldn't see about the refinery, you can now see because he's there. Or imagine all the Olympic torches that get lit each time we have an Olympics, right? Imagine that being the situation in which Jesus is teaching and him looking up at that Olympic torch and saying, that's me. Not just a little flame, a giant flame. I'm the one. I'm the one who makes it so that the lost can see, so that those in darkness can find their way home. I'm the one who makes things clear. That's what Jesus is declaring. But it gets even better. Melissa hinted at this, that there's this old Jewish declaration that comes out of Deuteronomy, the Shema, Hebrew word for hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. A pious Jew every morning would get up and he would start by saying these words. But before he said these words, he would recite two blessings. And one of them, the very first blessing, is called the God who creates light. They would recite this blessing. Let me read it to you as you think about this, realizing that a Jew would have recited this that morning as Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Think about this. Praised are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, creating light, fashioning darkness, ordaining the order of all creation. You illuminate the world and its creatures with mercy. Oh, praiseworthy God, with vast understanding, you fashioned the rays of the sun. The good light you created reflects your splendor. Radiant lights surround your throne. To the praiseworthy God, we sweetly sing. The living, enduring God, we celebrate in song. For he is unique, doing mighty deeds, creating new life, championing justice, sowing righteousness, reaping victory, bringing healing, awesome in praise. He renews creation. Praise the creator of great lights, for his love endures. And then these were the words they would finish. Cause a new light to illumine Zion. May we all share a portion of its radiance. Praised are you, creator of lights. And then Jesus steps up on the throne that afternoon and says, I'm the light. I'm the light. I'm the one that you've been praying for and blessing and calling. God, send us a new light to illumine the world, to illumine Zion, to illumine your people, to give them wisdom. And Jesus stands up there and says, that's me. I'm the light that you've been asking for every day for thousands of years. I'm the light who brings creation and who fashions and brings life into existence. I am the light who reflects the glory of God, who brings mercy, sows righteousness. I'm the light. I'm the light of the world. Every Jew would naturally know exactly what Jesus is declaring. You're saying you're God. You're saying that you are God. And it's no wonder that in verse 20, at the end of this statement, it says, no one arrested him because his hour hadn't come yet. They were ready to arrest him. They've been ready to arrest him for chapters, and they'll be ready to arrest him for chapters still. But the hour hadn't come. His time wasn't finished. He hadn't accomplished what God wanted him to do, which was to be able to restore people to their God. But here, he's saying, I'm the one who's going to be able to do it. I'm the one who can take you, though you walk in darkness, and I can bring you back to walking in the light, to walking with the Lord. And you know what it's like. You know what it's like to live in darkness, don't you? We've all seen plants. I live at the bottom of a hill in a dark valley. A deep, dark valley. And all of my plants know how dark it is because they are all spindly and they are all gangly. And they're gross. My rhododendron bushes don't look like your rhododendron bushes. They're the product of not living in the light. And so they're kind of, not the way they're supposed to be. Or you see those fish deep down in the deep sea, and you get a picture of them, some scientist that manages to sink a submarine deep into the water, and he snaps a picture, and you're like, ew. For those who haven't seen it, kids, you remember Nemo. Deep sea things right down there. They're kind of ugly and they've got little lights out there to try and, convince you to get close so that they can snap you with their dark teeth, right? They're grotesque and they're deformed and they're not the way it's supposed to be. That's what happens when you don't live in the light. Things get twisted and turned and they're not the way they're supposed to be. But with the light, life makes things flourish. And it's the same with people. People who don't live in the light of Christ get twisted, malformed. And Jesus says, but I can shine light on them. And the beauty is that like a plant, it starts getting light shined on it. It starts recreating. Suddenly the spindly, gross little shoots take on bulk and shape. And they begin to fill out the way they're supposed to be. Jesus is the only hope we've got. It's the only hope the world has. See, the reality is that every person that doesn't walk with Jesus is in the dark. They're in the dark. And to be in the dark in Scripture means that you're under judgment and that you're living in sin and that you're lost and you're confused. That's the reality that Scripture wants us to understand of people who don't know Christ. That they're lost and confused and they're in judgment. But Jesus is trying to help us see He can illuminate their situation. He can help them to see the reality of where they are and what it would be like to live in the light. What it would be like to be in communion with the Lord again. The reality is if we walk with Jesus, we're walking with God. Jesus said that He always does the things that are pleasing to the Father. And He always speaks the things that He hears the Father speaking. And so if we're walking with Jesus, if we're following Jesus, then we're going to be speaking and saying the same things that the Father wants. And we will be pleasing to the Father. As we walk with Jesus, our life gets remade. And it gets reshaped and reformed. And things that we once valued, we put aside and we say, no, that's actually not healthy or helpful. And things that we once thought were so important, we realize that in the eyes of God, they're not important. And things that we used to think were not important at all, they rise up and we realize, wait, that's way more important than anything. I've told you guys before that I come from a messy background. And some of you are always surprised. You forget. You forget how messy my background is. I think for some reason you think that because I'm a pastor and I stand up here that I must have had a good background. That's entirely the opposite. In fact, many pastors you'll find come from really messy backgrounds. We remember very clearly, I do, thinking that money and success and possessions were the prime thing of life. Remember living my life to try and earn and get as much as I could possibly get, as quick as I could do it, because I wanted to be retired 10 years ago. And God, over time, right, as you walk with him, as he shines his light, helps you to see, wait, I didn't create you to retire. I created you to walk with me, and I created you to work and do the work that I have for you. I never saw myself standing in front of people bringing the word. This is not what I wanted to do. God had a different plan. Right? How many of your life, as you think about your life, is it what you imagined? Or as you walked with Jesus, has he taken you different places to do different things than you would have ever imagined yourself doing? But as you do them, you say, this is good, what God has given me. Right? There was a time in my life where I thought taking advantage of women was like the prime mark of a good man. Foolishness. Absolute foolishness. But I was living in darkness then, and I couldn't see. Everything in the world told me that was the mark of manhood. And God shined his light on that too. He said, no, you're created to respect and honor people. And in fact, you're married, and your life is to be a life lived in sacrificial service for your wife as Christ loved the church. And that transformed our life and our marriage. You can ask my wife what happened. Right? God is saying that as we walk with Jesus, we'll be walking with the Father. We'll be doing the things that are pleasing to the Father, and our life will be transformed, and it'll be different than the life of walking outside in the dark. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's saying your salvation is dependent. It's dependent on walking with me. It's dependent on being with me. There is no such thing as being a saved person who doesn't have a vibrant walk with the Lord. It doesn't exist. Children who are raised in homes and then leave their houses and never open their Bible again are displaying that they are not walking with the Lord. Churchgoers who fail to practice the things that Christ teaches are saying, I don't love the Lord. I'm not willing to walk in his ways. But if we walk with the Son, we'll find that his word is true and good, and we'll find that life and salvation just wells up in us. There'll be this deep assurance that comes over us, not because we're doing the right things, but because the Spirit will be informing our heart and conforming us to the image of Christ, and we'll see from where we came and to where God is taking us, and we'll know that there's no way we could have gotten there on our own. But that every step of the way, he has been leading us and guiding us, and it's been purposeful, and it's taken every ounce of energy we have along the way. But even if we'd extended all the energy we had, we know we could have never gotten beyond step one. Spirit does this amazing thing of animating our life to walk with the Lord and to enjoy the salvation he brings. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he'll know whether the teaching that I speak, Jesus speaks, is from God or whether Jesus is speaking on his own. Jesus then goes on to say, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Our salvation is dependent upon walking with the Lord, because from the very beginning, that's all God wanted to do was walk with us. From the Garden of Eden, all he wanted to do was walk with us. Just walk with me and enjoy the things that I invite you to do. And it was in not walking with the Lord that sin and death and destruction came. The beautiful thing about Jesus' teaching that he's the light of the world is that if you pair it with Matthew 5, you'll find out that not only is Jesus the light of the world, but he wants to be the light of the world through you. You are the light of the world, he says. You. Every one of you is the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. We get our light from Jesus. He empowers us and teaches us how to walk and how to live and what's good and what's right and what's holy and what's pleasing. And as we do it, the world sees. And it takes note. And they give glory to God. His light shines through us. I was an odd student. I was a really odd student. I was a good student, but I was odd. And I used to go to school at Christmas time as a junior and senior dressed in some of the most audacious clothes you can imagine. I had bright orange pants, and I had a fluorescent green shirt. And you remember those little beanie caps that had a propeller? I had one. And I wore it. And I wore Converse shoes, a pink one and a purple one. And then I would sit in my classroom when my teacher wasn't paying attention, and I would plug myself in. Because at Christmas time, I wrapped myself in lights. And sometimes they were white, and other times they would be the flashy colored ones. And sometimes I would just have them on the solid, so they just kind of came on, and the teacher was just like, that's kind of weird. And then partway through teaching, I would switch one of the bulbs so that I got the flashers. Start flashing. People took notice. I wonder why. That's right. Jesus wants to do that with you. He wants to live his life so through you that when you walk into a place, whether it be your office or the place that you work or the things you're doing, that people sit up and take notice because the light that's shining out of you is his light. He wants to use you that way. He wants to use you in such a way that people that are in darkness and that are lost and that are walking in paths that are bringing destruction and death and destroying their marriages and breaking their relationships apart, he wants to use you in such a way that when people look at you, that they say, I need what you have. And you can say, I know how you can be lit on fire just like me. Let me wrap you in some Jesus. We'll plug you into the Holy Spirit. And you will illumine the world. That's what God wants for his people. I'm the light of the world. So are you. So does the world seem dark? Does it seem dark as you look out there, as you think about walking out of this safe place today, and you think about going into your world tomorrow? Does it seem dark to you? Does it feel like things are just not headed in the right direction? That they're going from bad to worse? Jesus' solution is right here. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but they'll have the light of life. And that means if you follow him and your light, that wherever you go, the world won't be so dark. It too will get the light of God. So step out into the world and try and practice the things that God says. Sure, you'll fail. I'm not worried about that. Jesus wasn't worried about that. But you'll also succeed in places you never imagined. And God will do more than you could imagine or ask or fathom through you and in you. Eat with the lost. Share the love of God with the sinner and the outcast. Serve the sick and the needy. Call people to repentance. And as you do it, your light will shine and the light of Christ will shine and the world won't be so dark. Holy Father, we thank you that we have hope because of Christ. We thank you that Jesus shines in the darkness and he illumines and the gates of hell cannot prevail. And that means as we walk with him, we are safe and secure. And that you will use us. And so we beg you, Father, as we go out this afternoon and we fellowship, as we go out in our homes, in our neighborhoods, as we walk to work or drive to work, as we serve in volunteer capacities, wherever you take us in the world, Lord, ignite us more and more with the light of Jesus. Shape us and form us more and more so that the world in darkness will realize a great light has shined. We thank you that you would invite us into this kind of reality. All God's people said.